From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of February 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, and discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora at T-Storm in Chicago. Along the way, I'll update you on USDA's Ag Farm Outlook figures this morning. They produced a fairly exciting and very low number, essentially, for the soybean acreage to be planted this year, about 83.5 million. We'll take that up, too, as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's turn your attention now to what happened in Chicago at the CME Group for the day. March corn at 389 3/4 finished 6 cents higher today. May futures at 397, up 5 3/4. In July at 405 1/4, up 5 3/4. December contract at $4.19 3/4, up 5 1/4 as well. Soy complex now, bean futures for the day. March contract $10.07 1/4, up 11.5. May futures at $10.11 1/4, up 12, and July at 10.15, 11 higher. November beans at $9.86 1/4, 9 3/4 higher. January at $9.91 1/2, up 9 3/4. The bean meal for the day finished $8.90 higher at $3.47.50, and the bean oil on the afternoon at $31.83, down 18 cents. The soft red winter wheat in Chicago at $5.19 1/2, down 4 1/4 in the May. The March was unchanged for the day. In July, the harvest month, down 4 1/4 at $5.21 3/4. The hard red Kansas City at $5.51 3/4 in the harvest month, down 3 3/4. Live cattle futures from Chicago at $158.82 1/2, were down 35 for the afternoon. The April there at $151.47 1/2, down $1.15. The feeder cattle finished 70 cents lower in the lead option March at $202.40. April at $201.55, down 52 1/2, and lean hogs today at $67.10, up $2.87 1/2. The May futures at $76.82 1/2, they finished $2.42 1/2 higher for the day. In the crude oil, futures finished the nearby March at $51.31 a barrel. That was down 83 cents for the day, and the heating oil or diesel at $1.99 6/10, up 3 7/10. This is Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Gasoline on the RBOB for the wholesale price today at $1.61 3/10 was 3 9/10 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.81 1/2, that's 1 6/10 cents lower. And ethanol futures finished the day at $1.45 7/10, 1 3/10 cents higher for the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 28 points lower at $17,965 for the day. Gold futures around $1,208, up $8.25, and the dollar index at 94.48. That's up 0.223. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny, cold, a high of 9 degrees. Wind chills of 3 to 8 below. Northwest winds at 9 to 13. Tonight, increasing clouds, a low of 2 below. Wind chills of 5 to 10 below. Northwest winds at 5 to 8, and they'll calm down over the evening. A 30% chance of snow tomorrow. It'll be cloudy with a high of 22 degrees and a wind chill of 9 below to 1 above, and southwest winds at 7 to 14, gusting to 20. Friday night, a 40% chance of snowfall. Cloudy, a low of 19 degrees. Again, a southwest wind at 6 to 13. And then Saturday, snow likely, cloudy with a high of 33 degrees on a south wind at 5 to 9, turning to the north-northeast in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation on Saturday set at 70%, new snowfall accumulation of 1 to 3 inches. Be sure to stay with us for the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm out of Chicago, Illinois. He has some interesting thoughts on what might happen along the Ohio River this weekend.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It is Thursday, February the 19th, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason on the phone line to take up the futures markets today as Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan, thanks for taking the time with us. The markets rallied a bit today. A lot of that, I suppose, due to what happened in Washington, D.C., and the acreage number that the USDA Ag Outlook Forum released at, what, 83.5 million?
Yeah, it was 50 shades of gray for the corn and soybean shorts today. They went into the playroom and got a good whipping today.
Fine. So let's talk about this just a little bit, because this number at 83.5 million is a fairly low number. However, when you look at the number over time, it's bigger than we've had, not last year, but the previous year, and we've grown several times. So is this number more likely or less likely, do you suppose?
Well, I think you just got to take them for what they are. They're this is the starting point of the crop report season. I mean, this is where USDA wants to start at. They're going to give us a much more detailed number on the March 31st report, where they will have survey data, both of all the acres that what farmers intend to plant as of March 1. And price action between now and March 1 may easily change that, and it may indicate that there's more acres out there to plant. I mean, USDA made the assumption that we're going to plant less acres due to low profitability. And I do believe some of that is definitely going to happen. I'm not too sure I'm willing to buy into the 4 million acre drop, but I do think there is some of that is in the works. I think we heard a lot of farmers in some of the marginal grounds in the Western Corn Belt planting alfalfa, planting grass seed, going back to pasture. The cattle market has turned around, so there's demand for pasture, there's demand for hay. So I do think there is some acreages that have been moved into the grass areas. I think you just got to take it for what it is. It's a starting point for their ag form outlook based upon their databases and kind of what they think is what the acres is going to be.
Nonetheless, we had a good rally today in Chicago. It's the second day of the week that we've had a pretty nice rally for both old and new crop soybeans. Has it changed anything on the outlook as it seems on your chart?
Well, I think, you know, when you take a look at soybeans, we made a new high for the rally out of the January low. We punched out 990. That was the high that we had here yesterday before the market reversed down. Now, we didn't maintain a close above 990, but we still posted in a 9.75 cent higher finish. So we are at the highest, one of the highest closes basically since mid-January. We've got a nice rounded tight bottom in the chart. When I take a look at beans, November beans, they closed above the 50% retracement area of the decline off the January high. And I think that, you know, kind of opens the door that we're going to see a 10-something put on the November soybean contract, it's not too far down the road, I don't think.
Do you suppose that will represent for farmers an opportunity to make some sales of new crop soybeans?
Well, everyone has to size up their own individual risk situation. But I would, you know, I think if we would take out the January high, which at this point, I think you got to call the January high somewhere around 1031 and a half or 1032, I would, that would push us into the 1040s possibly. And, you know, that would offer everybody some $10 type cash soybeans. And I would probably say that would be a place to start, given what the world balance sheet could look like if everything is favorable through the growing season.
And your view of the corn market?
Corn market is giddy up. We got a head and shoulder bottom formation developing. We came within a penny of closing above the neckline in March 15 corn futures. That neckline comes in right around 391 or so, and we closed here at 389 and three quarters. If we could muster a good strong close or break out of this pattern that we've been in, we've been kind of in a three-week trading range between, 380 on the downside and 393 or so, 392 on the upside. If we can bust above that 92 area, I think then that opens up the gates for a good solid run at the 417 high that was posted on December 29th. If you take a look at the December 15 corn contract, we need to have kind of a close probably above 423. If we get a good solid close above 423, then that would give you, I think it would put a 444 target on the dartboard for the corn market to attain as the seasonal strength and my cyclical strength begin to build strength as we go into the planting season.
Any fundamental reasons to believe all of this?
Well, if you looked at AccuWeather's weather map for the spring, they said basically from Minnesota on down to Louisville, Kentucky, and on east, that spring would never arrive.
So a late planting to begin with. That would be
late
one
planting thing. Or frosted corn. The weather maps, if you look at them, and the storm track does imply that we could go into spring with another cool, wet-type situation, and we could start getting into some planting problems. If you look at some of the long-range weather guys for the summer, it begins to look dry in the west. If you look at the Farmer's Almanac, it would tell you to buy corn today and just wait on July to take profits.
All right. We'll take the Farmer's Almanac advice, and we'll take advice from you, too. Thanks so much for taking the time with us. We appreciate it.
Very well, Todd.
Okay. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana.
Tickets are going fast for the 2015 All-Day Ag Outlook meeting, and Todd and I hope to visit with you. We've got a stacked lineup. It's a WASD day, so you will get wall-to-wall coverage on corn, soybeans, cash grain, and whatever else you want to talk about. Chris Hurt will talk livestock for 2015. Murray Wise has the latest on land value trends. And Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Cost for the March 10th meeting is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and beef house lunch. Get your tickets by calling 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Hey, while you're there at willag.org, do a couple of other things for me. Tomorrow, for instance, is Friday, but it's $5 Friday or $60 a year Friday, depending on how you look at it. We're hoping to pick up 100 brand new friends, people who have never made a contribution to our programming here from Illinois Public Media. If you're one of those and in support of agriculture, we'd like you to give us a call at 217-244-9455. Never mind that. Go to our website at willag.org and you can just hit donate there. It would be really great because we're looking to pick up 100 friends. Look for hashtag 100 and help us along in our drive on $5 Friday. That's tomorrow. You can start early if you want, but make sure you tell them you're supporting agriculture. The other thing that's there is a list of calendar of events, including three items next week. I'll be in Litchfield Thursday morning and then in the afternoon in Belleville, along on both of those with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzulo. The following day, on Thursday evening, that is, at 6 o'clock, we'll be in Casey at the United Methodist Church. You're invited. That one's open to everybody. And it's a University of Illinois Extension function there at the United Methodist Church in Casey. I hope you can all make it out. Check out all the details on our website at willag.org. Now, you know, U.S. farmers, according to the United States Department of Agriculture, from this morning, are expected to plant some 89 million acres of corn and about 83.5 million acres of soybeans. Those numbers were released at this week's USDA Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. Analysts rolled those numbers into their 2015-16 marketing year supply and demand tables and say they could produce something like a 13.6 billion bushel corn crop, and that would result in an ending stocks figure for corn of about 1.7 billion bushels. USDA's planting estimate of 83.5 million acres for soybeans, on the low side of trade expectations, it might mean next year's ending stocks figure would be about the same as this year, or roughly 385 million bushels. USDA acting chief economist Robert Johansen thinks corn prices for the coming year could fall to $3.50 a bushel. The PLC reference price, by the way, $3.70. For soybeans, that PLC price is $8.40. The price forecast this morning from USDA at the Ag Outlook Forum was $9 a bushel. Winter wheat seedings forecast to be 1.9 million acres, lower than last year, but USDA sees an increase in spring wheat seedings, particularly of Durham varieties, offsetting some of that decline. Overall wheat acreage expected to decline to about 1.3 million acres, or by about 1.3 million acres. Acreage of minor feed grains like barley, oats, sorghum, those are expected to expand. Strong demand from China has boosted sorghum prices and export demand for non-corn feed grains. USDA reports overall acreage for this year at about 255 million. That's down 3.3 million from last year, and it also says CRP acreage is expected to decline. Johansen presented a whole wide range of things for the short-term forecast for agriculture, covering crop and livestock production possibilities, farm income and assets, export and trade forecasts, and a whole few things about transportations this morning. Here are a few of the highlights from Johansen's program. Total meat and poultry production at 95 billion pounds in 2015 would be a record setter, with pork and poultry making the greatest gains. Farm equity, assets minus debt, on average, is the highest, he says, since USDA began reporting on profitability back in 1960. Land values, those are expected to go down by less than 1% in 2015. However, he says it's important to note, data from the Chicago Federal Reserve Bank indicates year-over-year declines of 7% for farmland values in Iowa. China, it's expected to purchase 60% of the U.S. 2014 soybean exports. Its purchases of DDGs should reach about 5 million metric tons. And as presented in the baseline projections last week, sorghum buying is expected to continue. The U.S. is expected to remain the world's largest exporter of corn, with its share of the global corn trade expected to grow from 40% in 2015-16 to 45% over the following 10 years. But that trend isn't true for other crops. The U.S. expected to be the largest exporter of soybeans this year and next, but Brazil is expected to surpass the United States in 2016-17. Brazil's market share expected to grow to 46% by 2024, while the U.S. share is expected to fall to 33%. And those are some of the numbers from today's Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, D.C. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. Coming up next week, I'll be on the road February the 25th in a couple of places. We'll start out in Litchfield in the morning at the St. Francis Hospital. Part of their program there, Mike Zuzulo and Jackie Vakes will be along. And then in the afternoon, we'll be at the St. Clair County Farm Bureau Building in Belleville near St. Louis. Again, Mike and Jackie will be with me. That's at 4, and it is open to everybody. I'm going to do something a little different there and have Mike and Jackie both make a short presentation, and then we'll do our panel discussion. So PowerPoints for Mike and Jackie in Belleville, Illinois. If you want to come, please do. That's at the St. Clair County Farm Bureau Building in Belleville. Starts at 4 o'clock. Supper is at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening of next week. And then on Thursday evening next week, we'll be in Casey at the United Methodist Church. This one's sponsored by the University of Illinois and the Extension. Gary Schnitke will be along. We'll talk about the Farm Bill, of course, and then Sherm Newland, Merrill Crowley, and Jackie Vakes will take up a panel discussion on the commodity markets, the meal at 6 o'clock, followed by Gary Schnitke, and then our panel. That's in Casey at the United Methodist Church. That's 703 on Illinois 49. So hopefully we'll see you at one of those events. This Thursday, let's talk a little bit about the cash grain market and what's been happening there and some expectations. Matt Bennett joins us from Channel Seeds. He's in Windsor, Illinois, traveling today, I think, towards a meeting in Bethany. Thanks, Matt, for taking the time with us. First, I saw, I think, and congratulations on the birth of a nice baby calf this week there on the farm. I guess it was on a cold night, huh?
Yeah, we've actually had four this week, and it's been kind of a interesting week, you know, with the cold temperatures, trying to keep everyone warm enough. But it's worked out all right. We just had to keep a close eye on everything.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of keeping a close eye on everything, I suspect you saw the numbers that came out of Washington, D.C. this morning at the Ag Outlook Forum. What did you think of the 83.5 million planted acreage figure they came up for soybeans?
Well, you know, I think a lot of times in the Outlook Forum, a lot of guys take a look at that and don't really think a whole lot about it. It seems like it's always kind of a 10,000-foot view type thing. And, you know, in my opinion, I think given, you know, the economics, and we've talked about this quite a bit, given what we're hearing from guys in certain fringe areas, maybe in the Delta, there's certainly going to be more beans. You know, I have to feel like that's awfully low compared to what most of your experts are predicting.
And you are much higher than that, I suspect, too, right? Based on
what I mean, my gut feeling is that if we don't get some sort of a, you know, a significant rally, and even if both would rally in tandem, corn and beans, I think maybe then you get more corn acres than what we're looking at. But, you know, with input prices where they're at, you know, and we've been floating around this 4 to 4.20 area, it's a pretty tough place for guys to get really excited about planting corn. You know, you're 40, 50 cents below last year's on a spring insurance price with input prices steady to higher, and that's pretty tough for guys to squeak out a profit on you know, a high input farm.
Okay, I'm running out of time, but very quickly, should they take advantage of the price rally?
Well, I think know your cost of production, and most guys are going to do pretty good with a rally like this. By all means, I like to sell rallies.
Okay, hey, thanks so much, Matt.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. He is with Channel Seeds, traveling towards Bethany in a meeting this afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We'll be back in just 2 minutes and talk about the weather forecast.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Chocolate Mint Day. The creator of the day is lost in history, but it was most likely started by a candy maker or ice cream company. On this day in agricultural history in 1764, Gottlieb Sigmund Kirchhoff was born. He discovered glucose, developed a method for refining vegetable oil, and also experimented with brewing and fermentation. In 1855, the bread riots in Liverpool begun. In many cases, after cleaning out the shops, they broke windows and smashed furniture. In Tsingtao, China, the first brewery was founded by German settlers in 1903. In 1906, the Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company was founded by Will Keith Kellogg to manufacture breakfast cereals. The founding of the company was an outgrowth of practices based on the Seventh-day Adventist religion at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. The company produced and marketed the hugely successful Kellogg's Toasted Corn Flakes and was renamed the Kellogg Company in 1922. In 1912, on this date, Cracker Jack began to put prizes in each box. 3 years earlier, the song Take Me Out to the Ball Game was written by Jack Northworth on a 30-minute subway ride. The confection became a part of Americana with the third line of the song, Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack. And in 1985, Cherry Coke was introduced. Actually, soda fountains, remember those? Have been making them for decades. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenura, T-Storm Weather in Chicago, joins us to take up the weather forecast. Start here in the Midwest, maybe with the line that is shifting in southern Illinois and Indiana, and the snowstorm it could bring over the weekend, please.
I mean, this is an unseasonably cold air mass and very unusual for this late in the year to be seeing this. It's partially related to how much snow we had just a few days ago across parts of the Corn Belt and more so in the Delta. With all that snow now on the ground, it makes it easier than normal for cold weather to last. So when this cold air comes crashing southward through the Arctic and into the Corn Belt, it just keeps on going straight on into the southeast, and that's why much of the eastern United States right now is experiencing very cold weather, with even temperatures in the teens this morning as far south as Atlanta. They're just not used to that type of weather. The one thing that it might mean, though, for parts of the Delta and maybe even southern Illinois through Indiana and Ohio, especially areas along and more so south of the Ohio River, is an ice storm this weekend. We have to keep a close eye on a big system that's moving through. Most computer models show rain with this event as temperatures move above freezing and into the 35 to 40 degree range. But we know from past experience that oftentimes computer models handle cold air masses poorly with this type of situation where you have dense, cold Arctic air at the ground, snow on the ground much further to the south than usual, and a rain system moving through. Oftentimes that leads to a big ice storm, and that'll be something to watch, mostly, again, along and south of the Ohio River. So that'll be something that we'll be closely following over the next 2 days.
Last fall, you and I talked a great deal about the lateness of the planting season for the soybeans in South America, especially in Brazil. The safrinha, or second crop corn, is due to go in. What conditions do you think that crop will suffer in the coming months?
Well, that's something that we're closely following, too. This could become an issue later on in March and more so April. Corn planting is behind schedule in Brazil, and that's simply because of a late-planted soybean crop that is now needing to be pulled out of the ground to put the second crop corn in, but that just isn't happening quickly because of the situation from earlier. So we will get the corn planted. That's not really the big question. The big question is what happens when their climate dramatically changes from March through April and into May. They lose a lot of rainfall over that period, and conditions eventually turn hot. That usually doesn't start until the end of April, but if it were to start 2 or 3 weeks early, this would become a significant concern for that crop. Keep in mind that Brazil's second crop corn crop is 60% of their total production. It's just exploded in production over the last 3 or 4 growing seasons. So if we end up having a real big dry spell here later on in April, which is not entirely uncommon of their climate, that would be something that would definitely become of interest in the United States. Again, though, a lot has to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but that is something that we'll be keeping a very close eye on later on in the spring.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can find him again online at WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.